the Home Rate Mortgage Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greese, and Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific Tuesday. This 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Chattanooga Trailer and Rental. If you need a dump trailer to pull behind your side-by-side or four-wheeler, call Chattanooga Trailer and Rental, and they will hook you up with exactly what you're looking for. 423-899-1744. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome in, for the first time to Press Row, former two-time All-American Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson. He was a third-round pick of the Falcons. He's active with the Tide Tailgate Show. He knows his Alabama football. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. I guess my first question for you is, do these national championships ever get old?
They sure don't, man. Not for me. You know, it's a little bit different watching them, you know, from afar as opposed to being on the football team when you win one. But I think I speak for most Alabama fans when I say that. I think most Alabama fans I've talked to were just still in awe that this dynasty continues to roll on, and you don't know when the end's going to come. I think everybody just kind of tenses up a little bit when you talk about, you know, the possible end of the dynasty, whenever it may be. But for right now, it definitely does not get old at all, man. The confetti falling, you know, seeing Nick Saban raise that championship trophy and celebrate with a new crop of young men, it's something that I love seeing across that TV screen a lot.
And, I mean, I think you can make the argument that this season may have been one of his best coaching jobs. I mean, Alabama had 9 players drafted in the first 3 rounds last spring. You think about Lester Cotton wasn't there last night. Sean Dion Hamilton wasn't available last night. Anthony Jennings, Dylan Moses, Hootie Jones. I mean, this was a team. I mean, it was a team that you saw in November got a little sketchy against Miss State, LSU, Auburn, of course, but I mean, do you think this may have been his best coaching job, given what he lost last year and what they had to go through with the injuries?
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, I was in the building in the same Mercedes-Benz Stadium earlier in the year when Alabama faced off against Florida State. And although that was a big victory at the time, you really felt like you were watching a flawed Alabama team. You know, as good as they have been up front on the offensive line in the past, as good as their front seven has been on defense throughout this dynasty, you wondered how far this team could actually go. And they were replacing so many people up front on defense, so many people that were pass rushers, so many people that were elite pass rushers at that. And then the injuries all coming out of the Florida State game, and you start moving through the schedule, and you mentioned it. You lose Sean Dion Hamilton. You know, Mack Wilson's out of the games, you know, a lot of the time. Anthony Jennings gets banged up twice this year and misses this game. It just, every decision that Nick Saban made along the way, it seemingly turned out to be the right one. I mean, you know, aside from the hiccup game against Auburn, they were able to really go down the schedule and knock off teams one by one. And obviously the decision to the national title game, just, it really was an incredible job. He seems almost rejuvenated when you look at the way he's kind of really taking control of this program here lately. He's having more fun than we've ever seen him have, and I think that's a dangerous thing for college football.
You know, of course, last night provided a unique situation with a quarterback switch at halftime. I mean, I know Nick Saban had a quarterback, I don't know if controversy is too strong of a word or not, but I mean, he had a couple of quarterback situations at LSU. But since he's been at Alabama, he has really, you know, made it loud and clear that he's got one quarterback and kind of, you know, avoided any kind of controversy creeping in. After what transpired last night, how do you think he moves forward in the months ahead, given the situation with Hurts and Tagovailoa?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I think it was the gutsiest coaching decision I've ever seen. To put in a kid that's 18 years old, has not seen any meaningful snaps this entire season, and all of a sudden you throw him in the game in the second half of a national title game against what is, you know, what's Georgia, the number 4 defense in the country, number 5 defense in the country?
Right.
It's such an incredible storyline, and you mentioned it. Nick Saban's going to have some decisions coming up, and you know, I don't want to jump out there too early on this story. I don't want to jump in front of Nick Saban making decisions, but I would be shocked if Tua Tagovailoa is not the starting quarterback next year. If he's able to come in second half of the national title game and do all those things as a true freshman, I don't see any reason why he couldn't lead an extremely explosive offense full of young talent next year and do it as a sophomore. Listen, I love Jalen Hurts. I've been on the Jalen Hurts bandwagon all year, but from what you saw last night, I don't think there's any hiding the fact that Tua really is the future of this program at the quarterback position. And so I think Nick Saban's going to have to do a great job the next few months keeping everything kind of under wraps, I guess, or, you know, trying to trying to knock down the expectations for Tua as a starting quarterback. But I think the secret's out. I think everybody's expecting to see Tua take the field next year.
You're listening to Mike Johnson, former two-time All-American Alabama offensive lineman, of course, a member of the 2009 National Championship team, Saban's first of five that he's won in Tuscaloosa and six overall. You're listening to Mike here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Of course, Mike, you've now joined the dark side on the media end. Does Coach Saban call you rat poison like the rest of us?
I'm sure that given the opportunity, he definitely would. I got a chance last year, and I've obviously been working with a couple radio stations, and I work for SEC Country as well. But I got a chance to host his radio show last year as a media member. You know, and the guy, you know, the SID down in Alabama kind of replied to me that, you know, before we went on air, he goes, "Man, when I told Coach Saban you were a part of the media, like, he couldn't believe it." I was like, I don't know if I believe it either. And so we had a good chuckle about that. He was obviously a great sport and answered a ton of questions for me during the Hey Coach show down there in Tuscaloosa. But, yeah, he definitely gave me a little side eye when he found out that you know, I was working as a college football analyst. He was a little bit taken aback.
How often do you wear your national championship ring? Because if I had an accomplishment like that, I would wear it as a necklace as well as a ring.
You know what? I bring it out on special occasions. I speak to alumni chapters all around the United States. I usually wear it when I do stuff like that. I've spoken to the Alabama alumni chapter right there in Chattanooga before. I wear it on days like yesterday when Alabama's playing in the national title game. I try to wear it on most game days in Alabama, but definitely don't wear it day to day. You know, first and foremost, it's huge, and it kind of gets caught up on a lot of different things. But you know, you also you don't want a chance losing something like that. So I wear it quite often. I'd say, you know, 15, 20 times a year, but not as much as I kind of planned on doing before I won it. I said the same thing. I was like, man, if I win one of those, you'll have to cut it off my finger.
Right.
But it gets polished up and broke out quite a bit.
All right. We had a little bit of this conversation earlier on our show here today, Mike. If the New York Giants offered Nick Saban $15 million, is there any doubt in your mind that Alabama would pay him $16 million?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that Alabama will pay him whatever he wants, and he's worth every nickel of it. I mean, I don't care if it's, you know, I don't care if it's $20 million. I don't care if it's $30 million a year. Alabama, for them, it's worth every dime. It's worth every nickel you're paying out because you're making that money back in, you know, just branding. I mean, you're making that money back tenfold in every different direction. Enrollment's up at Alabama. Out-of-state enrollment for the first time ever is actually higher than in-state enrollment for Alabama. So Nick Saban, he's in name-your-price mode. I mean, he really is in terms of college football coaches. You tell him, I mean, he will tell you what he wants to be paid in the end. I think it would take a lot of NFL interest on his side. I think he would want to have to go to the NFL. I don't think it'll be a financial decision at all anytime.
You're listening to Mike Johnson, the former two-time Alabama offensive lineman here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Mike, we got to ask you this, having you for the first time, your favorite Saban story from back in the day.
Well, everybody always asked me, you know, when I got my butt chewed by Coach Saban. And I do have a good butt chewing story that one time, you know, Coach Saban's a defensive coach, and so we used to get in these drills, and obviously he's always standing on the defensive side of the drill. Well, one day, obviously, you know, we had a Heisman Trophy winning running back in the backfield. We weren't, you know, we were a good defense, but we were pretty good offense, too, in 2009. So, you know, we were running drills, and our offense was running right through the defense. I mean, time after time, we were doing really well that day. Well, you know, Coach Saban stops the whole practice, makes us restart the period over again, and I kind of got loud one time, and I definitely regret this now looking back on it, but I got kind of loud. Didn't look in his direction, but I made it known that, you know, this wasn't a defensive drill. This was an offensive drill, too. This was a team run period. And, boy, you want to talk about getting undressed. I mean, when we got called up as a team after that, I made sure not to lift my eyes in his direction. He dressed me down from the shirt. I mean, he told me exactly how he felt about me as a player and what I ought to be doing instead of talking to him about what's a defensive and offensive drill. So I tucked my tail between my legs and made sure to smooth things out with him later. But I definitely have a few stories that I got my butt chewed. I have a few stories where Coach Saban did things that were funny. I got a few stories that, you know, definitely transcend the time of this dynasty, and it's kind of funny to look back on.
All right. of course, when you're talking about those days, I mean, you're going up against a defense that Saban's standing on that side, but Kirby Smart was running it your last year there, or last couple of years there. I'm curious, did you kind of see this coming, that Kirby would land at Georgia and immediately kind of in his second year have a year that was very similar to a year you experienced at Alabama in 08, that when Saban really got things going his second year?
Yeah, well, I always knew that Kirby was a talented coach. I don't think he was a proven commodity just yet when I was in college. I mean, you know, he took the defense coordinator role there, I think 2008 or 2009, and obviously ran away with it. But you have coaches that you run across in the game, and I did. You know, I had these in the NFL too, where you just find coaches that have a little bit more energy, that are bright, guys that really pay attention to detail. And you always understand those guys in the end are going to be the ones that got big jobs. I mean, looking back on that 2008-2009 season, Jeremy Pruitt, he had an office in the weight room. I mean, his office was next to Scott Cochran. He wasn't even in the upstairs of the building. And all of a sudden, he's the Tennessee head coach, and he's one of those guys, too, that, when you meet these guys, that just seem to have that edge that you need to be a competitive head coach. Kirby and Jeremy Pruitt were definitely two of those guys, and Jim McElwain was the same way. And so I think it definitely has been interesting to see it pan out. And, see where their careers have taken them. I think that Kirby Smart, I think he's got everything laid out in front of him. I think he's got the blueprint. I think he's recruiting at an excellent level. And so once you put all those things together, then it definitely starts to make sense for a lot of people that know him.
And, Mike, I know we've only got a few seconds left. If I asked you to name a Rushmore of Saban wins, because I've always thought you were there for two of them, the Clemson game in 08, because that pretty much announced to the world that Alabama was going to be an elite program again. And then, of course, the Florida win in the SEC title game in 09, which not only took you from elite but took you to number one. If I said the Clemson and Florida games those years, and then if I said last night, would you think last night might be one of his four biggest wins at Alabama?
Whew, you're naming some good ones there, brother. That's that Florida game definitely in 2009 was at the top of my list in games I'd played in. I mean, that was the changing. That was really the changing of two dynasties. I mean, Florida,
right?
If they win that game, they win three out of four national titles, and their dynasty is incredible. And Urban Meyer's probably staying there for quite a long time. So, yeah, I think last night definitely is up there on the top shelf. I think that it's definitely top four or five wins for Nick Saban, and just the incredible coaching decisions that he made. I mean, you cannot put into effect enough about, Jonah Williams goes out, Alex Leatherwood's at left tackle, you give Najee Harris all these carries, Tua's throwing the ball around to Devontae Smith, just so many young players that he gets to compete at an incredibly high level. I think it's interesting, too, that you go back to the Clemson game. I love that game. I kind of put it, I put the Clemson game that year and the Georgia game in 2008 together a lot. I think they were like 5 weeks separated.
Right.
That Georgia game was an announcement as well that, that Bama was back for sure, and those black jerseys that Georgia were wearing weren't going to work that night. So I love all those games, man. Listen, I love rehashing a lot of the throwback stuff from the time when I was taking the field, and I think they've had obviously a ton of incredible wins since then, man. There's been a ton of them that it'd be tough to make a Mount Rushmore for him.
All right. Well, listen, Mike, fantastic stuff. Thank you so much. Congratulations on getting to celebrate yet another national championship with Alabama, and thank you so much for joining us here on Press Row.
All right, thanks, guys. It was a pleasure. Roll Tide.
All righty. Mike Johnson, the former two-time All-American offensive lineman from the Crimson Tide, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.